الإسلام. Oh, Umar, you were a strong man in Jahiliyyah and now you became a weak man in Islam. You asked me to keep in an army that was appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, even some of the non-Muslim tribes had that reputation. That's how they saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So they said, see, Abu Bakr, the name of Abu Bakr is the father of Bakr. Bakr is a young, lively camel. A young, lively camel that's full of vigor is called Bakr. They would make fun of Abu Bakr when he became Khalifa because there was money involved. They didn't want to pay zakah. They were paying it to Rasulullah, but now when Abu Bakr became Khalifa, they don't want to pay him. They said, we're not going to pay it to Abu al-Fasil. We're not going to give it to the father of the infant camel. So they're making fun of Abu Bakr. Uday ibn Hatim told them, a day will come when you will realize that he is Abu al-Fahr al-Akbar. You will come to realize that he is the father of the great stallion. Beware. And the words of Uday came to be true. The most violent of wars ever, maybe in the history of a Sahaba, occurred under the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq against the Murtaddin. Some of them were thrown in wells. Some of them were thrown from cliffs. Some of them were burnt in fire. Some of them were pierced with arrows. He used all of these brutal ways of executing them because of the riddah and the great crime that they have committed. And that was done by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So he completely changed what they thought of him. In fact, one of these tribes, they came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said, we want to make peace with you. He said, I have two options for you. Imma harbun mujalliyah aw khutta mukhziyah. Either a war of extermination or a humiliating deal. They said, all right, we know what a war of extermination means. That means you're going to behead us all. What does a humiliating deal mean? He said, that you hand over all of your arms and you follow the tails of your camels. You see, in those days, a man without his weapons is not very different than his camel. So Abu Bakr said, you hand over all of your arms and you follow the tails of your camels. You become equal with your camels. And you publicly state that anyone who was killed among you is going to hellfire. And anyone who was killed among us goes to Jannah. And you pay for the ones you killed among us and we're not going to pay you anything for the ones killed among you. And you'll carry on living in this humiliated state until Allah Azza wa Jal shows his Khalifa, Abu Bakr, something that will make him change his mind about it. So it's an indefinite thing, until I change my mind. Umar bin Khattab said, now Umar bin Khattab is listening to this and he's happy. He said, when you say that they should give up their weapons and follow their camels, I agree. When you say that they should say that the ones killed among us go to Jannah and the ones who are killed among them go to Nar, I agree. But when you say that they should pay for the ones they killed among us, why we don't pay them, I would disagree with that. Because the ones who are killed among us are not killed, they are shuhada fi sabilillah, therefore we don't take any blood money for them. Abu Bakr agreed with what Umar said. And they had to accept this humiliating deal. They had to. Otherwise, the other option would be to exterminate them all. The courage of Abu Bakr was witnessed by the hero of this ummah. The hero of this ummah is Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he was Khalifa, Ali asked, who is the bravest of men? So Ali is standing on the pulpit and he's asking everyone, who's the bravest of men? They said, you are. He said, I have never dueled anyone and lost. But the bravest man is Abu Bakr. During the Battle of Badr, we built a shed for the Messenger of Allah and we asked who would be the bodyguard of Rasulullah therein. Abu Bakr came carrying his sword and defended Rasulullah ﷺ for the entire day. In Mecca, the disbeliever attacked the Messenger of Allah. One would pull him, the other would beat him, and they would say, have you made the gods one god? No one dared to go near to Rasulullah ﷺ save Abu Bakr. he went and started fighting them and would say, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a man just because he says, Allah is my Lord? Then Ali asked, who is better, Abu Bakr or the believer of the family of Fir'aun? Mu'min al-Fir'aun in Surah Ghafir, there's a long story about him. A man who was a believer in that environment of kufr, and he concealed his iman. So the status of this man was so great, Allah Azza wa Jal devoted ayat and ayat talking about his story. So Ali is asking, who is greater, the believer of the family of Fir'aun or Abu Bakr? The people remained quiet. He said, why don't you answer? In the name of Allah, one moment in the life of Abu Bakr is greater than the entire earth full of the likes of the believer of the family of Fir'aun. The believer of the family of Fir'aun was a man who concealed his faith, while Abu Bakr was a man who proclaimed his faith. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu cried, Abu Bakr is the bravest man of this ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can note the strength of his heart during the battle of Badr, Uhud, Al-Khandaq, Hudaybiyah and Hunayn. It is enough to note his steadfastness, firmness and strengthening of the entire ummah when the greatest disaster of all befell us, the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was when the hearts deviated and the nation was shaken. When all the hearts were trembling, the heart of a Siddiq was firm. If the heart of Abu Bakr was placed on one side of the scale, and the hearts of all of the ummah on the other, his heart would outweigh them all. The courage of Abu Bakr in his decision to fight the apostates, if distributed over the hearts of the cowards of the entire earth, it would be sufficient to make them brave. So you can see that the issue with courage is in the heart, because Abu Bakr, in terms of his physical stature, was extremely, he was very thin. He was so thin that he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining that he cannot, his izar wouldn't hold on to his waist. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should have your izar above the ankle, Abu Bakr went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, in izari la yastamsak ala haqwi, my izar wouldn't hold on to my waist. He was so slim that his izar would keep on falling, so Abu Bakr had to keep on pulling it up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr, lasta minhum, you're not one of those who are doing it out of pride. He was so slim, it said that you could see the bones on his face. Number two, Umar ibn Khattab. It is sufficient to point out that the courage of Umar was sufficient enough to make shaitan avoid him. That's enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Umar, إذا رأيت الشيء, Ya Umar, إذا سلكت فجا, إذا رأك الشيطان, إذا سلك عمر فجا, سلك الشيطان فجا آخر. When Umar would be walking down a road and shaitan sees him, he would take another road. The reason is, shaitan knows that it's a waste of time to try to deal with Umar ibn Khattab. You can't change anything in him. So he fears him so much and he's frustrated with him so much and he just gave up on him, he would leave him alone and go another way. The Messenger of Allah told Umar, O son of Khattab, in the name of whom my soul is in his hands, whenever shaitan sees you taking a route, he would take another. That's in Bukhari and Muslim. His Islam brought strength to the Muslims. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we used to not be able to pray next to Al-Kaaba publicly until Umar became Muslim. Number three, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was the lion of this ummah. He never missed a battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except Tabuk, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him over Medina in his absence. During the battle of Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tomorrow I will give the banner to a man who loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger love him. He does not turn his back away in battle, and Allah will make opening occur on his hands. All of the Sahaba desired that honor. The next day, so the Sahaba woke up very early in the morning and they started walking in front of Rasulullah so that he would choose them. The next day, Rasulullah ﷺ called Ali. They told him, Ali was suffering, his eyes were suffering, he couldn't see it that day. So they told Rasulullah ﷺ that he cannot see. Rasulullah ﷺ said, call him. And Rasulullah ﷺ spit in his eyes and he was immediately cured. And he gave him the banner. Mus'ab ibn Zubayr said, Ali was very cautious in battle. Even though Ali was courageous, but courage doesn't mean that you're not cautious. Courage doesn't mean that you become reckless. Mus'ab ibn Zubayr said, Ali was very cautious in battle. He would swerve terrifically from his enemy. And whenever he charges his enemy, he would protect all his sides. And when he retreats back from his charge, he would be even more protective of himself. No one could get to him. His shield was one-sided. It only protected him from the front. When asked, "Don't you fear an attack from behind?" he replied, "I never give my enemy the chance to attack me from my back. I don't really need a shield from behind." Number four, Talha bin Ubaidillah. He's one of the 10 given the glad tidings of paradise. During Uhud, he shielded Rasulullah ﷺ with his own body, causing over 70 injuries in his body. Whenever Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to look at the disbelievers, Talha would plead with him not to do so and would shield him with his body. Number five, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He is also one of the 10 given the glad tidings of paradise. He was the first Muslim to draw out a sword. During the early days of Islam in Mecca, a rumor spread that Rasulullah ﷺ was kidnapped. Az-Zubayr drew out his sword and went looking for him. He ran into Rasulullah ﷺ, who asked him, "What's wrong with you, Az-Zubayr?" He said, "I heard that you were kidnapped, so I came out to fight them." Rasulullah ﷺ prayed for him. And we talked about the story with the spear, where he bent the blade. And did I say when he chopped the kafir with his sword, and it split the saddle? In one of the battles, Az-Zubayr hit this enemy soldier who was on his horse. He hit him so hard that he split him into two. Not only that, but the sword went down a bit further and cut the saddle. So the saddle fell from both sides. The Sahaba, they saw that and they were so impressed. They said, "This is a very, very sharp sword. This is a powerful sword." He said, "It's not the sword, but it's the arm that's carrying the sword. Don't give credit to my sword." Inna Sa'd. Number six, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He is one of the 10 given the glad tidings of Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ prayed for him, "O Allah, make his arrow hit its target and make his prayer accepted." Umar appointed him to lead the army at Qadisiyah. The Muslims won and he continued leading them in Persia until he opened most of it and entered the capital, Al-Mada'in. Sa'd is the one who founded the two cities of Kufa and Basra. He is the one who founded them. When he was dying, he requested his body to be wrapped and buried in an old wool cloth. He said, "This was what I had on me during the Battle of Badr, and I've reserved it for this day." Number seven, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. He's one of the 10 giving the glad tidings of Jannah. Umar appointed him over the army opening Asham. He was the leader of the army during the Great Battle of Yarmouk. He died in the plague of Amwas and Asham. Number eight, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. He is the lion of Allah and his messenger. After the Battle of Badr, Umayyah bin Khalaf, who was captured, asked Abdurrahman ibn Auf, "Who was the man in your army marked with an ostrich feather on his chest?" Abdurrahman said, "That is Hamza." Umayyah said, "He is the one who brought ruin to us. He was killed during the Battle of Uhud." Number nine, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. He was 10 years older than his brother Ali. He was the second leader in line at the Battle of Mu'tah. When he took over after Zayd, he carried the banner with his right hand, which was cut off, so he carried it with his left, which was in turn also cut off, so he embraced the banner and continued fighting until he fell. They found in front of his body over 90 injuries. Mu'adh bin Amr bin al-Jamuh. He was the slayer of the pharaoh of this ummah, Abu Jahl. He said, "I made Abu Jahl my target on the day of Badr. When I found him, I charged at him and struck him with my sword and cut his leg in two. Then his son Ikrimah hit me on my shoulder until he cut off my arm. It only remained hanging to my body by the skin of my side. But because fighting distracted me, I remained dragging it behind me for most of the day. When it annoyed me, I placed my foot over it and pulled it off. 11. Al-Bara bin Malik. He is the brother of Anas ibn Malik, the servant of Rasulullah. He is one of the heroes of this ummah. Anas ibn Malik heard his brother Al-Bara humming poetry, so he told him, "Oh my brother, are you humming poetry? What if this is the last thing you speak?" He said, "No, a man like me won't die on his bed. I've killed 99 of the non-believers and hypocrites." Musannaf ibn Abi Shaybah. Umar wrote to his military generals to never allow Al-Bara to hold any position of leadership in the Muslim armies. The reason, Umar said, he is too hazardous for the Muslims. That's in Al-Hakim. During the battle against the forces of Musaylimah the liar, he sat on a shield and asked the Muslims to carry the shield on their spears and throw him over the walls of the enemy in order to open the gates. He did open the gates, but after he received over 80 injuries, that's in Al-Asaba. On the day of the Battle of Tastur, the Muslims asked Al-Bara to make an oath to give them victory, because Al-Bara was one of the men intended by the hadith, رُبَّ أَشْعَثٍ أَغْبَرٍ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ. There is a man with untidy hair and very dusty clothes, but if he makes an oath, Allah will fulfill it. A very simple man, poor, but Allah loves that man so much, if that man makes an oath, Allah will make it happen. So they told Al-Bara, "Ask Allah to give us victory." He said, "Oh Allah, I make an oath that you hand us over their shoulders and to make me follow your prophet." He charged the enemy and the Muslims followed him. The Persians lost and Al-Bara was martyred. Allah fulfilled his oath. Anas narrated, when Abu Musa was appointed governor of Al-Basra, he told Al-Bara to choose any position of leadership in his government and he will be appointed to it. Al-Bara said, "I don't want any. Rather, I want you to hand me over my bow, horse, spear and sword and shield, and then send me to jihad." He sent him in an army. Al-Bara was the first to die. Sammat bin Kharasha, Abu Dujana. Before the Battle of Uhud started, the Messenger of Allah held the sword in his hand and said, "Who would fight with the sword and give it its due right?" Some men stood up and offered to take it, but Rasulullah ﷺ didn't give it to them. And then Abu Dujana stood up and said, "O Rasulullah, what is its due right?" He said, "That you strike with it the faces of the enemy until it bends." Abu Dujana said, "I will take it, O Rasulullah." And he gave it to him. Az-Zubair bin Awam said, "I felt saddened that I, the cousin of Rasulullah ﷺ, would ask for the sword and would not get it. But Abu Dujana would. So I decided to follow Abu Dujana and see what he would do with it." Abu Dujana pulled out a red bandana and tied it around his head. The Ansar said, "Abu Dujana has pulled out his bandana of death." He then attacked the enemy, and whenever he would face anyone, he would kill him. Before the battle, he marched with pride before the enemy. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "This is a walk despised by Allah," because he walked with pride. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, "This is a walk despised by Allah, except in this position, except in this situation." This is striking fear in the heart of the enemy. During the Battle of Al-Yamama, he threw himself over the wall surrounding the city and broke his leg. He continued fighting with a broken leg until he became shaheed. Khalid ibn Walid, he is the drawn sword of Allah. As soon as he became Muslim, Rasulullah ﷺ was sending him to fight enemies of Allah. Khalid never in his life lost a battle. Khalid ibn Walid said, "If I were to marry a beautiful woman whom I love, or if I were given the good news of having a newborn son, is less beloved and dear to my heart than to be in a cold, icy night in an army waiting to meet my enemy the next morning. I advise you to go on jihad." These were the last words of Khalid. Salamah bin Akwa, number 14. We mentioned this story earlier when he fought the disbelievers alone. Rasulullah ﷺ said about him on that day, the best of our foot soldiers today is Salama bin Akwa. Number 15, Uqasha bin Mahsan. His bravery in war was well known. In the battle of Ghabba, he saw Amr bin Abbar along with his father riding the same camel. He threw his spear and killed them both at the same time. Two men riding on a camel, struck them with the spear and killed both. 16, Amr bin Ma'd Yakrib. He was a king from Yemen who was famous for his bravery. He later embraced Islam. Amr would count him as 1,000 men. Al-Tartushi mentions in Siraj al-Muluk that Amr bin Ma'd Yakrib went next to the river and told his people, I'm going to cross the bridge. If you follow me after a time equivalent to the time it takes to slaughter a camel, you will find me with my sword in my hand fighting whoever is in front of me with the enemy surrounding me and I am standing between them. If you come later than that, you will find me dead. He then crossed the bridge over the river towards the enemy's camp. A while later, his people said, Oh, sons of Zabid, are we going to leave our man alone? We might not even catch him alive. So they crossed the bridge and found him without his horse while he was holding both back legs of the enemy's horse and the horse failed to move. The fighter on the horse was trying to reach Amr behind him with his sword with no avail. And you can imagine, he's frantically trying to hit Amr who's holding the horse and the horse cannot move. When the fighter saw us attacking, he came down from his horse and ran away. Amr then mounted the horse. We told him, you were almost gonna miss me. They asked him, where is your horse? He said it was hit by an arrow that killed it and I fell off its back. 17, Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. He was courageous before becoming a Muslim and Islam only added to his courage. During the Battle of Yarmouk, he fought ferociously. He was told to slow down and be cautious. He replied, I used to fight to defend the Lat and Uzza, and I would not take any care for myself. Now you want me to take caution when I'm fighting for Allah and His Messenger? He then said, who is going to pledge to die? Al-Harith bin Hisham, Durar bin Azwar, along with 400 of the brave, gave their pledge. They attacked the Romans and disappeared in their ranks. Ikrimah never came out. His body was found with more than 70 injuries. These are 400 who pledged martyrdom, a martyrdom operation. Number 18, Tulayha al-Azdi. When Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas asked the Khalifa Umar to send him reinforcements, Umar replied, I have sent you 2,000 men, Amr bin Ma'd Yakrib and Tulayha al-Azdi. Each one of them counts as 1,000. Tulayha, Amr and Qais bin Makshuh went on a reconnaissance mission to the enemy's army. Both Amr and Qais kidnapped some Persian soldiers and brought them back to the Muslim camp for interrogation. Tulayha went further. So now these were three men. Two of them came back with prisoners and Tulayha is carrying on. Tulayha went further until he was in the camp of the army's commander. He hid until nightfall and then went straight to the tent of the commander and took away his horse, which was tied to the tent, and then he ran away. A Persian horseman saw that and he followed him. Tulayha killed him and took his horse along with his and the commander's horse. Another horseman pursued him, and Tulayha also killed him and took his horse. A third horseman attacked him, but then surrendered. Tulayha captured him and carried him away, along with a total of four horses, in addition to his. The Muslim leaders gathered to question the Persian who turned out to be one of their leaders. He said, I have fought numerous battles, but I have never seen anything like this man. He crossed our camps until he made it to where even the bravest of men would not dare, the camp of our army's commander, which has over 70,000 soldiers. As if that wasn't enough, he went ahead and took the commander's horse. The first of us to follow him was considered among us to be equal to 1,000 men, and he killed him. The second to follow him was killed, and then I pursued him, and I don't think that there is anyone in the army equal to myself in strength and courage. But I saw death on his hands and surrendered. The man then accepted Islam and fought alongside the Muslims. This is da'wah. 19, Abdullah bin Zubair. He was the courageous and son of the courageous. You know, by the way, in da'wah, because الأرواح جنود المجندة فما تشابه منها ائتلف وما تنافر منها اختلف. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that hearts are soldiers of Allah. The ones that are similar cling together, and the ones that are different, they feel repulsion from each other. So when you give da'wah, you tend to attract the people who are similar to you. So a brave, courageous man like Tulayha al-Azdi would attract people who are similar to him. There's some attraction because they have something in common. While if weak and feeble, it would also tend to attract similar people to the religion. Now it's all da'wah and everybody, Islam is for everyone. But there is an influence of personality when it comes to the people that would be attracted to your da'wah. So different people could be giving da'wah to the same person. But what he hears from one particular person would be more appealing to his ears and heart than what everybody else has to say. So there's one scholar who actually said, one scholar from Shanqit, he said that even if the Muslims are successful in their da'wah today when they're weak, that weakness would carry on. Because whoever would come into the religion would either have similar attributes of weakness or would be conditioned to be in that state of weakness because of the state of the ummah. Abdullah bin Zubair, he was the courageous and son of the courageous. His father was Zubair bin Awam. Abdullah participated in the opening of North Africa and killed Jarjir, the king of the Berber. 20, Abdullah bin Abi Sarh. He was the opener of North Africa. He was the one to lead the first naval battle of the Muslims, the battle of As-Sawari against the Romans. He was appointed by Uthman to govern Egypt. When the fitna occurred, he retired.